You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Time for an interview with the Vicar General of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, Father Joseph Roach. He's about to tell us how, on Sunday, 5th of June, Pope Francis is set to canonise the founder of his order, Polish-born Stanisław Paczynski, who died in 1701. Stay tuned. So, Father Joseph Roach, you've got an exciting moment here. After 300 years,
that's right.
You have the founder of your congregation, Stanisław Paczynski.
Yes.
He was born in Poland in 1631.
1631, right.
Yeah. And is due to be canonized on the 5th of June. What I really want to know is who he was. What do we remember him for? As founder of the order, as a chaplain on the battlefronts, mm-hmm. as an author, mm-hmm. because he was an author as well.
That's right.
Or simply as someone who was attentive to those on the margins of society.
Mm-hmm.
What
All
would you
of
say?
Those things. Well, I think one of the main things that we remember him for, obviously, as members of his congregation, is he's our founder. He's the founder of the Congregation of the Marian Fathers. He was originally a member of the Pierist Order, and he had loved that order for many years, but for various reasons he left that order with the thought in his heart of founding a religious order that would spread the devotion to the Immaculate Conception, and this was even 200 years before the dogma was proclaimed. So that was something that was very dear to his heart. And then, while he was going through many, many struggles of trying to found the order, he had mystical experiences with the souls in purgatory. So praying for the souls and being attentive to the dying became an important thing. He lived in a very difficult time in Europe when there were many plagues and wars, and people were dying left and right without being prepared. And so the souls were coming to him and saying, pray for us, don't forget about us. And so that became suddenly a very important thing on his heart. And he was often saying to us that we have to remember to pray for the souls in purgatory. We have to offer sacrifices for them. We have to do what we can. He would be in the battlefield and praying and working as a chaplain. Sometimes he would even go to the cemeteries and pray at the graves of the soldiers who had died, just to remember that we can't forget about these souls. He also was at the forefront of remembering the laity, the importance of the laity, that the laity are called to holiness. And so he wrote a book called The Mystical Temple of God, using analogies of a temple, the things that you would find in the temple, the altar, the candles, etc., and assimilating this to parts of the person, parts of the body, that Jesus wants to dwell in our temple. And Jesus died for us, and Jesus wants to make us all mystical temples of God. He wants to make us all dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. And also, he came from the country. He came from a peasant stock. He came from a small town in southern Poland, which at that time was in the Diocese of Krakow. And the peasants were very often neglected. They weren't taken care of spiritually. There was a kind of a shortage of priests at that time. So he wanted to make sure that they received the formation, the education, the religious formation that they needed, and the sacraments. And so the Marians were founded among the peasant stock, which was kind of an unusual thing at the time. Many of the other congregations were founded in the big cities, and there would have been people who were well-educated who were coming in, but he was taking simple candidates and starting among the country folk. So he was working with the kind of the new poor of that time. The people were kind of overlooked and neglected. And then at the same time, he had a reputation as a great preacher, as a writer. He was a teacher of rhetoric. He became the confessor to the king, Sobieski. He was a confessor to the papal nuncio, who went on to become a pope. So he became well-known in different strata of society, the lower class, the peasant folk, and also among the elite. Yeah, so he had a powerful effect on many people during his day.
So Pope Francis is going to canonize him all those centuries later. What makes him a saint, and what makes him a role model for even young people today?
Wanted us as a Marian congregation to help the diocesan clergy to remember to continue to proclaim the message of the Immaculate Conception, which says that God takes the initiative in our lives. Mary received the grace of the Immaculate Conception from the first moment of her conception, so it was a completely unmerited gift. So it reminds us of the primacy of grace, that grace always comes first, that God always is looking out for us. Lord, God wants to take care of us. So despite our weaknesses, despite our sinfulness, despite our difficult time that we're living in, he's a man who lived in a very difficult time 3 centuries ago, and so he could very much identify with the challenges that we are facing, trying to live our faith in our day today. With many, many challenges, He is a reminder to us that God is in charge, that God is looking out for us, that God has not abandoned us in our society of today, even if God, for many people, seems to be a kind of a distant idea or an abstraction. But God is real, and God wants to help us. And so that mystery of the Immaculate Conception, it's also nice for us that it's happening this year during this extraordinary Holy Year of Mercy, because our community promotes the Divine Mercy throughout the world. One of our priests brought it out during World War II, those messages from Eastern and Central Europe, and we've been promoting that. And we see the Immaculate Conception as the greatest fruit of the Divine Mercy, that God wants to save everyone. And so he has extraordinary ways of doing it. He saved Mary in an extraordinary way before she was ever touched by original sin. And he can save each of us through the sacraments, through baptism, through the Eucharist, through reconciliation. And so it's a message for us today that God is closer to us than we realize, that God is near. And Blessed Stanislaus is also a powerful intercessor for us as well. There were two miracles that led to his beatification and to his canonization. One involved a baby in the mother's womb who had died, and then after praying through his intercession, the baby came back to life. Another one involved a 20-year-old girl who had all kinds of problems with pneumonia, respiratory problems, multiple organ failure, septic shock. She was really at the point of death. And then praying through his intercession, she came back to life. So now we're seeing him as a sort of a patron in our day of those in danger of death, those where their life is not respected as well. And also for the unborn, the unborn whose life is in danger because of the difficult situations that people find themselves in today, we find him to be a powerful intercessor for us in those situations as well, to remind us of the precious gift of life. And we're trying to live that out in our congregation. We have a center of NAPRO technology in Poland now, trying to help people, families that are having challenges with conception. We're trying to help in the pro-life movement throughout the world. So he's an intercessor on many different levels, and he's a reminder to us of the importance of the great gift of life that comes to us from God.
You were listening there to the Vicar General of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, Father Joseph Roach, telling us all about the founder of his order, due to be canonised on Sunday, 5th of June, by Pope Francis. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.